Hey, Dreamers, this is Patrick DeWayne, and you can find my one-man show, The Accidental Hero, at accidentalhero.net. Keep on dreaming with Dreamers Podcast.
Hey, Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Maxwell Ivey, who is making his dreams come true by helping others go after their big dreams. Welcome to the show, Maxwell.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate you having me on the show, and I'm looking forward to us having a good talk and hopefully inspiring and motivating some of the listeners.
Oh, I hope so, too. I'm pretty sure we will be able to do that. I guess we should let our audience know that you are actually blind and a blogger at the same time.
Yep, totally blind, have no functional vision, depend completely on what the screen reader tells me from what's on the net. A blogger. Sometimes I record videos and do podcasting, and I maintain both of my websites. Sometimes not completely by myself. Sometimes I get stuck and have to have a friend or one of my family members fix something that I broke. But most of the time, it's me. It's just me.
Oh wow! Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd imagine that being able to see the screen can help when troubleshooting things a lot. Get done a lot quicker.
Exactly. That's the big thing is a lot of times you can only tell what's wrong quickly by looking at it and seeing what it's doing. So sometimes the verbal feedback that you can get just isn't enough. And I remember back when I was still hand coding my site and would accidentally forget a less than or a greater than or a slash or something. And, it might take me an hour before I figured out where that one character was that I left off, but I can have somebody look at the page and tell me where the page went a little quirky on the page, and then you at least had a place to start from as to where that missing piece of code might be. So naturally, it's the main reason I love WordPress, because you don't have to worry about a lot of that stuff anymore. Most all of that stuff is taken care of on the back end by the WordPress content management system, thank goodness. So.
Oh, I'd agree. I mean, blind or not blind, I think a lot of people are thankful that WordPress has gotten it down to a science.
Yeah, and for me, it was even worse because as a blind person, I couldn't get one of those pieces of software that would create the HTML code for you based on what they used to call WYSIWYG, or what you see is what you get. I had to actually hand code each line of text, links, image, all that good stuff that used to drive us all crazy in the middle of the night when it would break or when we would do something wrong and it wouldn't work. But to go from having to hand code literally thousands or millions of lines of code to being able to just upload it to WordPress and let it do it, that's so much better. And it's a reason why I tell people that I don't really know what's holding a lot of people back from starting a blog or a podcast or a website, because with WordPress or Drupal or the options that a lot of the web hosting companies have nowadays, the creating the site is the easy part. Having the idea and the guts to do something about it's the hard part.
I couldn't agree more. how long have you been in the blogging, podcasting, video game?
I started my first website on September 28th of 2006. That's when we filed for the domain name, but nobody in my family knew anything about creating a website, so it took us about 4 or 5 months. My brother Michael, who is one of these kind of guys who he seems to understand technical stuff on a genetic level. It's like he can talk to the stuff and it talks back to him. He figured out how to create my first site, and he set it up where all I had to do was upload the image files and write the descriptions of the equipment that I was listing. So that's been about 9 years with the Midway Marketplace, where I help people buy and sell amusement equipment. And it's been about a year and a half for the new blog, theblindblogger.net, which I originally started on Blogger because I wasn't sure if people were really going to really buy in or resonate with what I'm saying. But after 4 weeks, I realized that people did really enjoy hearing what I had to say, and a lot of people said they were inspired by what I was doing. So I then made the decision to go all in and get a URL and move it over to WordPress, which that wasn't fun. That was kind of scary. But you know, it's just one of those steps along the way. I did the research into the best way to migrate a site. I followed all the instructions and it worked, thank goodness. So about 9 years, year and a half on the latest blog. And, you know, the thing about doing this is you're always learning something new every day. There's always some new way of promoting your site or sharing the information in it, where everybody's always telling you, well, if you're going to have a website, you got to do this. If you're going to have a blog, you got to do this. So I'm on Pinterest, and I have an account on Instagram, but I don't know how to use it yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. But everybody says, hey, if you're going to have a website nowadays, you got to be on Instagram. So I try not to shy away from these new things, even though after a while you start to wonder, how many social media networks should I be on? How many blog posts do I have to write to keep my audience up? You know, after a while, you just have to start getting much more selective in the challenges and opportunities you decide to take on.
Well, I mean, you give me a lot there. I'm really curious with the Instagram side. It's the Instagram is all about pictures. So how does that correlate to somebody who's unable to see?
Well, the trick is if you can get the pictures into the iPhone or the Android phone or some device where you can upload to Instagram, then there's really nothing stopping you from sharing the photos and your posts and building up a community on Instagram. Naturally, all I'm going to get from that is whatever text somebody decides to write with their images. I'm not going to be able to appreciate the images. But when you join a social media network, it's about creating a community. Just because I can't see their pictures doesn't mean that I can't appreciate the person who took the pictures and follow along with the story they're telling through them. It would be a lot easier if I could see the pictures or the video. Some people, when they post videos, their narration or their dialogue or monologue with the video makes it where you got a pretty good idea what's going on. But, you know, it's just like with YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram. They're all pretty much visual sites, and I use them because I have to, because that's where the audience is. One of the first big sales that I made was a carousel, and I made that sale because we had a video of it on YouTube. And I did that against two or three other companies, much more established companies than me. And the buyer said the thing that got his attention, the thing that sold the ride, was because I had the video of it running on location. And he could look and see it was taken 2 weeks ago and know that if he drove from New York down to Atlanta, he was going to get what he saw in the video. So, like I say, it's not easy. It would be a whole lot easier if I could see them. But it doesn't stop me from, you know, building a community, getting to know these people, becoming their friends, sharing their content, having them share mine when I post it.
Well, okay, so all right. So my next question, I guess, would be: how long have you been blind?
Well, I have retinitis pigmentosa. I was born with perfect vision. I started losing my vision when I was 4. I had lost most of my vision by the time I was 12 or 13, and I lost pretty much the rest of it by the time I was 21 or 22. So, I have been what I consider totally blind for about 30 years now, and the doctors classify me as having light perception because the doctors have this thing of not wanting to admit that anybody is totally blind unless they can physically verify that. But me, I figure if you have to depend completely on speech or braille, then you're totally blind. That's my point of view on it.
Well, so, isn't there a difference between being blind and like legally blind?
Oh yeah, there's a difference. Legally blind, you know, kicks in at 20/200 or 20/120, depending on what part of the country you live in or what country you're from. Some places they don't consider you legally blind until you your vision drops below 20/200, or you lose a certain percentage of your peripheral vision. I'm not exactly sure what percentage that is, but I know that I have very little, if any, peripheral vision, and you know that's with you know not be if I could see to the side, I wouldn't see anything to the side any more than I do in the front. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I tell people in my lifetime, I've gone from regular print books to large print books to listening to books on albums and then cassettes to Braille and to now using digital downloads. So I just continue to change as my vision changes. And at this point, knowing that it's knowing that it's not going to get any better makes a lot of things a lot easier.
Wow. So how long have you been into technology? I mean, or was this just something new, you know, new that you wanted to pick up in like 2006?
No, I had a computer at the time, or I had just gotten my first desktop. I was not really a big tech person, and I still am usually the last person to come to whatever the latest thing is. I didn't get my iPhone until April of this year, if that tells you anything. The thing is, after I realized that I was going to have a website in order to run my business, I started learning about how to have a website. I joined lists online for visually impaired webmasters, for online marketers, for people that were into blogging and social media. I just started reading what I could find online and learning from other people. As something came up that I needed to figure out how to do, then I would go, okay, well, how do I do that? Like, when my brother got a good paying job and he couldn't help me with my website anymore, I went to the W3 school and just started going through their tutorials. You know, I started with how to make a link, and then how to do an image, and then how to do a bullet list, and just went one after the other, because I had no choice. I had to learn how to do that in order to update and maintain my website, because, you know, if you leave a website the same for very long at all, you not only lose traction with Google and the other search engines, but people stop to show up and look at your site.
Ain't it the truth? I'm curious, though, how did the amusements come into play?
Well, I grew up in a family of carnival owners. Me and my family actually had about a 7-ride show that we operated up until 2012 or 13. And I had started in 2006 because I could see that things were not going the way I wanted them to, that if we did manage to stay in business long term, it would be at a very reduced level, that, you know, it would be basically subsistence. And I really wanted something more for myself. So when we started brokering the equipment, I originally started brokering other people's rides, hoping that the commissions would allow me to reinvest in the show. And after that didn't pan out, I said, well, maybe I can make a career out of this. And I have become one of the more respected people in the area of reselling equipment. I think I'm one of the recognized experts. And of the 10 or 12 companies that are doing what I do, I'm the most active on social media. I'm one of the few people that not only encourages videos, but almost insists on them. I make slideshows for people. If they send me short videos, I'll turn their videos into a YouTube show. So I think because of my vision, I'm really invested in using the internet and anything online to promote the equipment sales. And every once in a while, I get a piece of equipment. I go, you know, man, I wish I could buy that and go back out on the road with it. Hasn't happened recently because I've really gotten to where this has become my passion now. This is the reason why I get up in the morning. And it's usually the last thing I think about before I go to sleep at night.
Oh, I love that passion, man. I think that's awesome. And I love the fact that you, even though you just got your first iPhone, seem to have a love for technology and what it can bring to you, and see the, at least see the vision of what it's capable of.
Oh, yeah. I finally accepted the iPhone because I realized that there's so much more that's being written as far as applications for the iPhone than are being made available for my desktop, and that's pretty much where the world is going. You know, people that are out there in their garages or basements writing apps, trying to make a living or trying to get rich selling apps online, they're not developing for the desktop or the laptop. They're developing for the iPhone and the Android, and as some for the new Windows phones. So, you know, like for a few examples, Facebook is one of the best ones I can think of. The experience for a blind person using Facebook on your phone is, as I like to say, the difference between Friday afternoon and Monday morning. It's that big of a difference between using it on the phone and using it on my computer. So, and Twitter is really a whole lot better. Plus, I'll admit, I even enjoy some of the games. I'm one of the top 10 on Trivia Crack. So, and that's something I usually have trouble with. I'm real good at technology if it has to do, if there's a work application for it, or if I can get it to help me do things that I need to do. But the fact that I'm also using the iPhone for fun too is something else that it's shown me that some of the other technology I use didn't.
Well, I that's wonderful. And obviously with app developers, they're going where the people are, and where the people are is mobile on the go, not necessarily sitting at their desk all day to use fun applications or really most applications at this point. So it makes sense for them to go that way. And well, congratulations on getting an iPhone.
Yeah, it was hard for me. I'm still on the wrong side of the learning curve, but I'm getting there. I hear that that in the next version of the tablets and the iPhones, that some people think they're even going to be able to run their blogs from them and not even have to have a laptop or desktop at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, the iPad now, you really could. If you just add a keyboard to it, you can pretty much handle doing it yourself without a laptop. Is it, you know, to me, it's not as convenient, but I mean, well, they now with the split screen, now you can, you know, do two screens at once. It does make it a lot easier for sure.
All I know is as long as I have to have speech to tell me what's on my screen, and I'm most likely going to have both of them. And it also has a little bit to do with the fact that I have been using typewriters and keyboards for so long that the hardest part about using the iPhone is just getting used to doing everything with touch. I've started to understand how to move around, how the gestures work and stuff like that. But to actually have to select the number keys or the text keys or the emoticon keys by dragging your fingers across and then pausing the right length of time and then doing a double or triple tap, all those things, they're just kind of hard for my brain to adjust to because I've been using keyboards so long.
Well, I that was one thing I was going to say, was the whole patience of it all must be, I don't know that I would have the patience for it for sure.
I know that the iPhone and the Android phone, from what I've experienced being around other people that have them, is it seems like the difference between a blind person using a laptop and a sighted person using one are about the same or pretty close. But the gap as far as speed and dexterity between a blind person, even some of my friends who are really good at it, between a blind person using a smartphone with a touchscreen and a sighted person doing it, there does seem to be more of a gap in speed and usability. But like I say, I know quite a few blind people, including some totally blind people, who they make their iPhones do stuff so fast that the speech can't even keep up with them. I mean, it's crazy what some of them are doing. And you know, one of the reasons why I kind of hesitated to start this new site and hesitated to be kind of like the blind blogger was because I know that there are a bunch of other guys, men and women out there who are also blogging or podcasting or running websites, and some of them do it a lot better than I do. But you know, I have my message, which is to do what I can every day as well as I can, and then do it better or do more tomorrow. And I seem to be helping people because I do continue to get emails and comments that, you know, I've inspired people or motivated them to do things that they had been putting off or avoiding. So,
well, Maxwell, what's been the biggest roadblock? I mean, aside from, you know, being blind slowing you down, what's been the biggest roadblock for you?
With the Midway Marketplace, it's been that my business model is different than everybody else's. It's a commission-based site as opposed to a free site with advertising. And with the blind blogger, the two problems there have been, one, my hesitance to embrace my role, and the other, having difficulty getting clear enough on my message that people will actually decide to hire me as a coach or book me as a speaker. So those are things that I'm learning about as I go forward. The one thing I've realized is that I'm much more familiar and more comfortable with the amusement industry. So things are more intuitive on that site than they are on the news site. On the news site, I actually have to think about this stuff. And in a lot of cases, my friends have to point out things that I should know or that I should have learned from my previous site. But for some reason, just doesn't click with the news site because it's an unfamiliar area to me. It doesn't click with the news site until somebody goes, Max, this is why you're not reaching your audience, or this is why they're not deciding to book a free conversation with you. And as my friend recently reminded me, she said, you know, it's all about one person, one problem, one solution. She said, just do what you did when you started the Midway. It's the same thing. It's just different in your mind because the audiences are so different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely can be difficult when you're trying to apply things from things that you've learned in the past. But sometimes we forget things that we've learned in the past because we move on and we do other things, and we need to make room for new experiences and new ways of doing things. So it can definitely be difficult. Now, growing up, Maxwell, what was your childhood dream?
Well, I grew up as I was a daddy's kid, and most of my family was in the carnival business, so I wanted to run a carnival. And for about 11 years, I got to do that. And after my dad passed away from lung cancer, we did it for another 2 or 3 years before we were no longer able to stay on our own. And we joined up with another show, My Uncle's Carnival, for about 3 years. And eventually, we realized that we just weren't happy being on a Midway anymore, so we're not. And today, my brother Patrick, who I live with, who helps me with the website sometimes, he got good news that he's now got a job with Walmart, which we're hoping that'll be good for him because he needs something in his life that gives him a reason to get up just as much as I do. So,
well, hopefully that works out there. Well, I'm glad that you were able to realize it for at least a number of years.
Yeah, and I learned a lot of valuable lessons about perseverance, about overcoming obstacles, and a lot of the things that I use in my life now, I learned then, and I wouldn't have learned if I hadn't gone through the process. As I've been told a few times, your time in the carnival business was like a PhD program in hustle and muscle and what it takes to run a business in this world. So very thankful that I did get to do it. I got to spend a lot of time with my dad, which is something that very few people get to do. And many people realize late in life that they wish they had gotten to spend more time with their family. And I've been lucky enough to live and work with mine for probably 10 or 15 out of the last 30 years. So I don't have that regret. And, one of the good things about being blind is when I tell people that I live with family, nobody gives me a hard time about it because they figure I'm doing it out of convenience or there must be some reason as far as my life being made easier as a blind person by being around other people. I wish it was that easy for everybody because there's a lot of people out there who are working their butts off, doing the best they can, but they have to take grief because they're living on somebody's couch or their parents' garage or a neighbor's spare room, you know. So I've been lucky in that respect.
No, I understand. I guess it's the people that are just mooching off other people without wanting to do anything or any ambition to do anything that give everybody else a bad name. But you know, what's funny is, and I'm sure you know this, in other countries, especially like Italy and other places in Europe, like kids live with their family until they're not well past being kids. Because it's so expensive to own a house and everything like that, so it's not like that everywhere in the world.
Yeah, it's not like that everywhere in the world. But the majority of the people that me and you come in contact with online, the majority of them are from the U.S. and Canada, and I would imagine that a good percentage of your audience is also from the U.S. and Canada.
Oh, definitely. I know I have some UK listeners, so shout out to them. So anyway, Maxwell, what's your dreams for the future look like?
Well, I want to continue building this thing up. I want to help other people experience the joy that I get from having a passion, from having something that I can invest myself in and do every day, knowing that that I'm not only doing it and enjoying it and learning from it, but I'm also helping other people. I want to travel more. And for a while, I've been putting that off because I haven't had anybody to travel with. But recently, I've decided I'm just going to start asking people to host me, and eventually I'm going to get enough people who have agreed to take me into their homes, and I'm just going to get on a bus, a train, or a plane and take off. So that's another thing I want to do. I would love to do some live events, and I've been asked to participate in the Festival of Enlightenment from Bill and Jan Moore's A Smiling World Network. They do that once every 4 years during the summer. So if people are going to be in Durango, Colorado next June, they can come out and see me in person. That'll be probably the first time I get to speak to a live audience, which I'm scared and excited, but you know, that's what I want to do. I want to do more of sharing my story, whether it be online, magazines, newspapers, TV, radio, podcasts. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a huge audience, because I realize that every time you share your story, there could be one person in that audience who needed to hear it, who can go out and make some real change in their life, or who can tell a friend of theirs or a business acquaintance of theirs or a family member, hey, I just saw this guy and you got to go to his website. So yeah, that's my thing. I'm going to continue sharing my story, try to help as many people as I can, and just continue to see what crazy things life has to offer. I mean, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have expected to be doing these interviews. I wouldn't have expected to have written the book or be trying to record music. So that's basically my approach to it. I'm just going to see what comes next. And if somebody has a wild, crazy opportunity, I'm not going to tell them no until I think about it and decide whether it's something that would be good for me.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And good luck with your first speaking engagement. I would tell you to imagine everybody in their underwear, but that would make it a little... Well, see, you're laughing, so,
yeah.
So maybe that's not a good idea.
No, I'm laughing because that goes into a joke. I like to tell people all the time that about the time I would have wanted to look at girls, I started to lose my vision, and I could only see them in two dimensions, but there's really no fun in that, so...
Oh man. Well,
yeah.
but
I do, I tell you what I do, and I'll tell you what the listeners should do if they have this fear. Just if you can see, look out in the audience and find one person that looks back at you. That person that looks back at you, you talk to them. Don't even look at anybody else the rest of this speech. And if you can't see the audience, which I can't, my goal is I just think of one person. I think that there's one person out there who's ready to hear me, that needs to hear something I'm going to say, that wants me to be successful. They want to have to stand up and applaud when it's over. And I just imagine that person and talk to that person. Just like when I do these radio interviews and podcast interviews, there may be thousands of people listening, but the only person I'm thinking about is you. Me and you are having a conversation as if I'm sitting on the back porch with a cold glass of lemonade, and that's all I think about. So I'm not really worried about the speech aspect. I'm just worried about exactly what I'll come up with to say between now and then.
Well, I'm sure if you give it some thought, you'll have plenty to talk about. You seem to have a whole life of experiences that not many people get to experience, both in the carnival sense and in the lack of sight sense. So
yep, I appreciate that, and I'm sure something will occur to me. If I've told many people that I have a problem with brevity, so once I get started, I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm sure you will. Is before we wrap up and let everyone know how they can connect with you, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I have one core belief that I follow all the time, or I do my best to follow it, and that is I do whatever I can as well as I can right now. I don't worry about if it can be done better or if somebody else is doing it differently. I do it as well as I can right now. And then if later I can do it better, I do. If later I can do more, I do more. So that's what I tell people. There's things you can do, things you can learn, things you can get other people to do. But if there's something that's just totally beyond your control or ability to influence, then leave it alone. So I concentrate on what I can do as well as I can do it right now. Do more or do it better tomorrow. And I always remember to be really kind to myself and treat myself as good as I treat anybody else. So those would be my final thoughts. And it's, I know it's really simple. It's something that most people know and a lot of people have said. For some reason, when I say it, people seem to take a different reaction to it. So I hope somebody out there decides to take at least one simple action today that will get them closer to their goal. And if they need help, they can contact me. They can get a free 30-minute call just by clicking the book your call link on my website. They can get a copy of my book if they sign up to my email list, and you can find out all about that on www.theblindblogger.net. If they want to check out my amusement equipment stuff just for entertainment, it's www.midwaymarketplace.com. My number is 979-215-1770, and the email is justask@theblindblogger.net. I tell people if they want to know anything about me or how I deal with people, just remember my email address.
Oh, that's awesome. And I love what you had to say about just doing it and doing the best you can and do one thing at a time. And that's one thing I constantly am telling people, when they ask how I'm able to accomplish so many things, it's I do one thing well at a time and I move on to the next thing because multitasking is a myth, and I can, and I'm sure you can attest to that considering that you aren't able to see. So you can only rely on the text, and the text can only tell you one thing at a time. You aren't able to do any.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I tell people all the time, there are some advantages to being a blind computer user. One is that it is difficult, if not impossible, to multitask. So you concentrate and focus more on what you're doing at the time and trying to do it as well as you can, and also determining whether it's something that maybe you don't do as well as somebody else, and maybe it's something that you shouldn't be doing, something you should let somebody else do for you, you know. So that's one place where it is very beneficial to be blind, because I agree with you, multitasking is a myth. It hurts more people than it helps thinking that it's possible. But, we have so many obligations and so little time, everybody continues to try to make it work. The other place where I have an advantage is social media. Social media, they don't make it easy for a blind person that has to depend on speech to use social media. One of the real problems is those sites change so often. I like to say that Facebook especially is like living in a house where the furniture gets rearranged every day. So I don't spend as much time on social media as many sighted people do, because it's just not fun to be there. And I think that's a definite advantage to being blind. I really do.
Yeah, when I want to get work done, I stay away. Stay away.
I put
everything in do not disturb mode and stay away from going on social media, because it's a rabbit hole, and it sucks time like a vampire. So
yeah, and the question, and it's okay if you're on there and you have a specific purpose, that you have a job that you're doing for your business, or you have something that you have to take care of for your family, such as an event you're organizing, like a wedding or a birthday announcement or something like that. But for the most part, it's a lot of wasted time. And I find there are a lot of negative, toxic people on social media. If you hang around long enough, you seem to run into them. So that's another reason why I try to stay off social media. I do most of my stuff via email alerts wherever possible. And if I get an email notification saying that I have to address something on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, I click on the link, I go do whatever I have to do, and then I get right back off. So definitely an advantage there being blind. And same thing with not trying to multitask. And I'm sure there are other benefits where I have things that are easier just because, like I say, doing them is not enjoyable. I don't spend a lot of time on YouTube either, and that's mainly because their search function. It seems like I always get results that I wasn't wanting to get. So the only times I go on YouTube is if somebody I know says, hey, why don't you subscribe to my feed? And then I subscribe to their feed, and I get email alerts that say, so-and-so just posted a video. Here's the title of the video. And if you want to watch it, you click. If you don't, you just delete the email and go to the next one.
Yeah, I'd imagine email, because it's that one thing at a time mentality with email that would be good in your case. So I love the fact that you're utilizing that for your notifications, whereas I don't want all those notifications in my email because a lot of them are – I don't need to know how many people liked something. I just need to know what the comments are and move on from there. But
well, that's why you go in and change your notification settings to only notify you of the things you want to be notified of. So
yeah. That's true. Well, Maxwell, I really appreciate you taking the time today to come on, and I've had a great time talking with you, and I would love to have you come on the show again at some point in the future.
Well, I appreciate that. I'd be more than happy to come on anytime you need me, and as I tell people that are trying to get booked on podcasts and radio shows, let the host know that if for some reason a guest falls through or they have technical problems, they need somebody last minute, let them know you're available. So I just want you to know, if any time you need a guest and it's short notice, just email me or text me. Let me know you need somebody. I'll be more than happy to come back and talk again. I've enjoyed talking to you. This has been a lot of fun, and I would definitely love the opportunity to do it again.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.